times more influence upon his children than the mothers. Similar studies in England show the same trend. While no one would dispute that mothers are a great blessing and provide things that fathers cannot provide, clearly fathers are essential to healthy spiritual development. And that is why, in Scripture, God charges fathers with spiritual leadership.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. Or give us a call at 1-800-42-BIBLE and join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Sometimes insurance can be a confusing business. I can't stress enough the importance of having a single professional insurance agent to help make sense of all your personal and business insurance policies. You don't want to get caught without the right coverage. For all your insurance needs, trust Brad Jacobson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. Call 891-7900 for a free consultation and a policy review. 891-7900 for Brad Jacobson, your local Farmers Insurance agent.
Empowering people out of poverty, helping kids and communities to shine. There's nothing quite like it. At World Vision, we've seen what happens when a child gets clean water or nutritious food, when she feels safe, gets to learn in a classroom, or discovers that she has infinite worth. Together, we're working to help every kid everywhere grow into who God created them to be. Reach out with us today and help people change their own lives for good. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Your greatest achievement is your family. You worked long and hard to grow your dreams for the ones you love, knowing their wishes will be honored should the unexpected happen. Introducing Caring Wills and Trusts from the law offices of Lawrence Puritz. Let us customize your will and trust now for your family's needs tomorrow. Call now for a free consultation. Caring Wills and Trusts. Take care of your family today to provide a better tomorrow.
Call 343-0500. Online at Caring Wills and Trusts. .com.
Andrew told me I got to be more on the mics.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Big day today in Fulton County, Georgia. Testimony continues on whether Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade will continue to be part of the case against former President Trump of election interference in the state of Georgia. It's a racketeering charge. The issue, if you don't know, you probably do know, you've been following it, that the two had an affair, and that they had an affair well before Ms. Willis hired Mr. Wade, which would make it really kind of an inappropriate relationship and causes it to be an appearance of what is it called? Just a bad appearance, and therefore would disqualify those two. Yeah, with Bishop Peter Hansen of St. Augustine Anglican Church in downtown Chico.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning to you. I got sucked into this coverage. To me, it's like driving by a car accident and having to look at it. Although I don't look at car accidents, I'm not one of those. I can't watch that because I always imagine it could be me.
You don't have a rubber neck,
right? I don't do that, but some people do.
Yeah.
But this is something where I know that I would never find myself in this situation, so I could watch it. Not with glee, but with real sadness.
It needs a special kind of stupid to do something that is this clearly out of the bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, that they created some funds that they called office funds, and they turned it into partying,
right?
And by vacations
credit former President Trump's attorneys. They apparently investigated it and found out that before Mr. Wade had gotten hired, that they had exchanged more than 2,000 texts in one year at certain times in the night, and that they'd made thousands of phone calls well before 2022 when he took over and became the joint prosecutor in the mm-hmm. case. And so there's all kinds of evidence out there. And it's probably not going to go well for Ms. Willis or Mr. Wade. But what strikes me is they committed a sin by having this relationship. And many of us have made sins like this. But what bothers, I think, a lot of people is, wouldn't it have been better just to make the confession early, acknowledge what was wrong, assuming that's what's happened here, take your lumps, and then move on? It's the theory of what's the rule of holes? When you've dug yourself into a hole, stop digging.
Stop digging, yeah.
But they kept digging.
Yeah. There's two ways to play this question. One is to lean into politics and say one party gets a free pass on no matter what they do,
mm-hmm.
and the other is hammered, and there's a case to be made there. But I'd like to look rather for a second at just the permissiveness of our society that does not want to find fault with you at all. Now, this gets played, you know, leaning in one way, but the harm that does to a human soul when they have knowingly done wrong, when they have been caught red-handed doing wrong, when they keep denying it and keep getting a pass in certain quarters, and finally they can walk away, and maybe it's proven without a doubt that a great harm has been committed, and yet there's going to be no consequences. There's going to be nothing. This is like, you know, some of these brats who grow up in households and rule the house in terror because they're never called out on anything. They never have to suffer the consequences, and so they become miserable people.
This may be somehow I think there are people who feel because of their race, because they are lean left, and the judge is a little bit to the left, that it's going to be kind of like, well, okay, well,
Slap on the wrist.
I can't imagine most legal experts saying that they're going to be removed from the case because there's the appearance of impropriety. That's all. All you need is it doesn't have to be impropriety. Just the appearance of impropriety is going to remove them from the case.
Seems a lot more than appearance.
It does. but if they had just confessed that, they probably would have been removed from the case. But now they're running the real possibility that they could be disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's shown that they committed perjury, because we don't know what other evidence that the Trump team has. They might have text messages that say all kinds of things. I guess it always comes down to they would have been so much better off if they just acknowledged what they did. We see this happen in a lot of areas too.
If you take an image in your mind of a figure eight where there's a sort of a circle on top and a circle on the bottom, or double dip ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a wrong committed right at the nexus, the point where those two circles meet, and the wrong that's done offers you an opportunity, one is to immediately hide, to go to ground, to deny it, to get away from the consequences, to say no, and that is driven by shame. Shame makes you feel that you are a bad person, and you have to hide your badness because otherwise people will know. So you start going around that circle in one direction and go down, down, down until you are isolated, you're guilt-ridden, you're feeling terrible. But in feeling terrible, you start to itch for some sort of a help out of this itch, this bad feeling. And so you ultimately recommit the crime. You do it again or some other similar crime.
Mm-hmm.
The other option is the upward circle, which is to accept guilt. To say, truth, I did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I committed this thing and I was wrong. I need forgiveness and I need help to get out of this hole. Like you say, stop digging.
Mm-hmm.
Move upward. And then you can go through forgiveness, restoration into society, fellowship with people who've had like problems and help each other now and keep from going there. You know, like people in AA.
Mm-hmm.
And they can keep going, and so that the next time when they come to that nexus, that intersection, they choose truth rather than hiding.
We're going to take a break. We're speaking to Bishop Peter Hansen of St. Augustine Canterbury Anglican Church. Why is it that people don't want to just admit they're wrong, take their lumps, and then move forward? I guess that's a story that we could ask a lot of ourselves, ask that question to all of us in some way, because we all make mistakes. We'll continue our discussion after this.
Life 101, the basic rules for getting by and moving ahead in life. Back in the 70s, the amazing Kreskin astounded people with an uncanny ability to read people's minds. Well, you'd think that a lot of us were applying to replace him, because often we actually fool ourselves into thinking we can read someone else's mind or actually know their motives. Why do we do that? Well, we really hate to say, I don't know, as in, I don't know what they're thinking. So when we don't know what they're thinking, we simply come up with something and state it as if it's fact, not the fiction that it really is. However, when you try to guess at someone's thoughts or motives, psychologists tell us we're actually revealing clues to our own dark agendas. Did you ever notice that when someone tries to read someone's mind or state their motives, it's almost always something really sinister? The Bible says that a man himself is the only one that knows his own thoughts and motives. So when it comes to reading someone else's mind, leave that to those magic shows in Las Vegas. Instead of reading motives, the mature, healthy approach is to say, I don't know. You are listening to Life Radio, KKXX AM and FM.
Hi, I'm Jenna Ushkowitz. Animals protect, comfort, and give us their love. It's time we repaid the favor. American Humane encourages everyone to do four simple things. Adopt from a local rescue group or shelter. Help animals in disasters by becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer. Choose only humanely raised foods. And help endangered creatures by supporting American Humane certified institutions. Visit AmericanHumane.org to learn more.
We're now broadcasting to Chico and Paradise on the FM dial at 103.9 FM.
I'm a big baseball fan my whole life. One of the saddest stories to me is ball players who took steroids and now are not in the Hall of Fame. Their images, their reputations are demolished. And then I don't know if there's any way of getting back. There is one player, though, I do remember, who was deeply sorry and actually cried and expressed a deep remorse, Mark McGwire. And I admire the fact that he acknowledged what everybody knew to be the case. But I'm speaking with Peter Hansen, the bishop over at St. Augustine Anglican Church in downtown Chico. Is it pride? First of all, why is it that people just won't admit to the wrongdoing? Do they think that they're worse than other people? Because all of us, in some way or another, have done things that are deeply ashamed of. I would imagine you have, too. I mean, you're a wonderful man, one of the best men I know. Wow. I know I've done so many things that I'm ashamed of. I'll take to my grave. But it's like, why is it that people have such of a difficult time acknowledging a wrong that they've done?
It goes right back to the garden, doesn't it? I mean, in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve had fallen, they immediately started covering themselves up and hiding in the bushes. And God goes looking for them. Adam, where are you? You know, And he's hiding. And then when confronted with this matter of having eaten from the tree, he says, well, that woman you gave to me, you know, she did give it to me and I ate it. Blaming God and blaming Eve.
And then Eve blamed the serpent.
And she blames the snake, yeah.
Yeah, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on.
That's true.
Yeah.
God did not ask the snake anything, which I think is right. Just right.
Right.
They know each other, and he knows who he is, and he doesn't have to ask him a thing.
What does this say about confession is good for the soul? Or
it
what?
Is.
Yeah.
It is. It's cleansing. I mean, in our church, we have the actual literal sacrament of confession, where two men or two people alone go into a private place quietly, and the priest hears the sins that the person feels convicted of and wants to confess. And it's hard to do. It's hard to face up to this. But for that reason, I give people a booklet that has suggestions of all the kinds of sins that people commit, and help you to remember, oh, yeah, that I've done that. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of it on my own, but there are these words on the page.
I remember you and I talked about the seven deadly sins a few years back, and the pride of all of them, of the seven, pride is considered the worst, isn't it? Because that's the nexus. That's where everything started.
It's the capstone, you know, and it looks good. I mean, that's the thing. It's a chameleon of all sins. It looks great. We want somebody who looks confident, who looks self-assured. You know,
I know it all.
We teach people
self
self-awareness and self, you know, talk that I'm the greatest. I can do this. I got the suit. I can be a star. And so that's a distortion. Pride is always distortion. It's like going into the funhouse mirrors and seeing yourself all this way and that way, trying to exaggerate your own importance or the importance of what you're about. Shame is a kind of pride in that it exaggerates the badness of things that you've done and turns it into who you are, which isn't true. But it shrinks the power and the majesty of God, who is able and willing to forgive you and is standing there waiting to bring you back. Mm-hmm. Come back to me. The word repent means come back to me. You know.
But I think when we talk about repentance, that doesn't mean you're never going to not sin again. Because I've repented for sins I've done, but I still commit the same sins.
Sure.
And we do. But what gets you over the hump? Is it the knowledge, the awareness, and the grieving of our sins?
Well, there are. I mean, if you face it, if you do what we are not seeing Fannie Willis do, really get down into it and see it clearly, spread it out, say it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And I did it. I need that. Then you got an opportunity to get it off your back. It's a monkey on your back you cannot get rid of. If you keep saying, yeah, but everybody does it and it's okay, or there shouldn't be any penalty for this, or that it really isn't a bad thing, or whatever you do to excuse yourself, you still got this thing stuck to you. It's like the tar baby in Song of the South, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember that? The tar baby was this baby made out of tar that sits by the side of the road. Somebody comes along, picks up the baby. It's soft tar, it's stuck to you now. You can't get it off. You keep trying to push this thing off you, and it keeps getting stuck everywhere you stick it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who laid the tar baby comes up and jumps on you and kills you or eats you or, you know, takes you over. These things are stuck to you until you do the thing that needs to be done, which is admit it, confess it, recognize it's bad, have contrition, but not shame.
That's why, and sometimes I wonder if it's the attorneys that get in the way. I look at this Willis Wade thing, and if they just held a joint news conference and admitted to everything and said the truth from the get-go, there's going to be a penalty to be paid. You're going to have to reimburse funds. There may be some financial wrongdoings that happened there. Apparently, you know, they were using, you know, misappropriating funds, and that's the accusation.
Mm-hmm.
They could be heroes.
Yeah, well,
they could set an example for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
It would be good if they would, and it would help us all out of this this
quagmire,
the hole that we're digging. You know.
Yeah.
Very true. I mean, you got Hillary Clinton, who admittedly had 33,000. Emails on her illicit server in our own apartment. And still, no complaint at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, she faced no consequences.
No consequences.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up our discussion. We'll be right back.
The candlelight flickers, a falcon calls, a lime green lizard scuttles down the cabin wall. All of these
God has abundantly blessed America. Our founding fathers knew and understood the laws of nature and of nature's God, that prosper a people in harmony with them. Most assuredly, people that seek first God's ways of universal righteousness, spiritual prosperity, create the environment of peace, harmony, and blessing that naturally pave the way to material prosperity. America, bless God.
For some, the final book in the Bible reads like a science fiction novel. Without context, we can get lost in the complicated references to strange creatures that appear in Revelation. Join us when Chuck Swindoll presents a clarifying study in the book of Revelation, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
Your teaching and talk for real life.
Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
This is Live Local Talk.
There is a movie I recommended to Bishop Peter Hansen of St. Augustine Anglican Church and his wife, Geedy. It was a Woody Allen film called Crimes and Misdemeanors. It's one of my favorite films. And I don't think you liked it as well as I did. But in a nutshell, a man has his mistress killed because she was about to tell all and ruin his life. And basically, it's a morality tale. And there's some very interesting, very thought-provoking scenes. And it basically came down to this. Could you kill somebody, commit a crime so egregious, and live with it? And the argument went, well, if you could live with the guilt and get away with the murder, everything is clear. You're in the clear. It was a very haunting movie because you were looking at the actor, Martin Landau, who played that man, very successful man, an ophthalmologist, and you went, this guy's a sociopath. This guy's a monster. He doesn't look like a monster, but this man was a monster in the movie. And so is there a lesson there in that if people can get away with it is and live with the guilt, well, they're going to have to pay a price eventually.
Nobody gets away with anything. We know this from the judgment, you know, that everything you've done is going to be dragged out in front of you and you're going to look at it. Now, there are people who have theories that when God says he'll forget your sins, that he's forgotten them, he doesn't even know that you committed them. And I got to say, oh, hooey. God does not unknow anything. He knows everything.
Well, he chooses not to know. What's the scripture that says your sin is as far away from east as to west?
Right. The application of that sin against you as a conviction, and you're going to be punished forever for it, that's removed. The sting, the consequence, other than the fact that it's true. You did this, and hey, look, if Jesus came and died for you, and then you say, yeah, but I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're stuck in a place that's too bad.
That's a bad answer to give.
It's a bad answer. I don't need your forgiveness because I'm innocent here. Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote the great book, Crime and Punishment, which was about a murder. And terribly brutal murder, and it's a little heavy. I mean, Russian novels are, but it goes on the psychological path of this guy who knows he's done this thing and he's gotten away with it, but he's just going crazy. He's not free. He's hidden it. He could get away. He could move somewhere else, but he can't get away from it. And he goes back to the scene. He's just eaten up by it. And finally, of course, he gets caught. Which is a relief. Sometimes people at the time when they're finally caught after all the running and hiding and lying, they go, oh, thank God, you know, I can't avoid this sin anymore. I now have to face it.
The Telltale Heart with Edgar Allan Poe is another great example.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just that the heart, it's not a heart pounding. It's his conscience pounding. And he finally confesses.
Yeah. It's good for us.
Well, that's kind of what leads to we have about 3 minutes left in the show. I'm speaking with the Bishop Peter Hansen of St. Augustine of Canterbury Anglican Church. They have a service time at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning and 10:30 on Sunday morning as well. And they're located over on Salem Street. It's a beautiful church over on the corner. Where we are, this is the Easter season. This is Lent. And this is what it's all about, is repenting. Do you find when you're giving, you're talking to, like, not just with on the air here, but when you talk to people who might look for some sort of advice or consolation where you can use the stories that we see in the news that you can say, this is what you want to avoid. Are we able to take lessons from what we see around the world? And can you use that to help people not make the same mistakes that some of these people we see in the public making?
It's safer to use the Bible for examples because there's plenty of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a heat in the area of public figures now because of political sides that if you seem to rag on somebody who's on one or another side of the aisle, you're now taking part, and you could be seen as political, even though they're clearly
right.
Things are happening there.
Right, and you're right because these are people who lean to the left that we're talking about. But you can make the case for many people on the conservative side who've done similar mistakes. George Santos comes to mind.
Sure.
You know, so it spreads the gamut of religion.
I always love the phrase when some accusation has been made clear, crystal clear, and the person comes out and says, mistakes have been made.
You know,
this sort of this vague attribution to some cloud out here that made him a goof, took the wrong turn. We don't want to say, I did wrong, you know, and I meant to do it, but I'm sorry for it now, and I want to make it up.
We have 1 minute left. That brings to mind Jimmy Swaggart, who had cheated on, and he made a very famous speech where he's crying. And
I
have sinned, and people make fun of him, but you know what? It took a lot of courage to come out there and say that. And in some ways, I kind of admire him because of that.
It did. I don't know that, like you said, you know, then you repent and then you recommit your old sin. You're stuck in it. Addictions are like that. You got places in your brain that call to you with old pleasures and says, revisit this. You know, you're going to have it. It's a retraining that takes a lot of honesty. Mm-hmm. When you get out of an addiction, whether it's pornography or drugs or drink or sex or something else, you've got to be really, really honest. If you start playing the games that really didn't matter, or I didn't mean it, or I didn't do it, or you're never going to get out of that.
The truth will out, as they say.
It will.
Bishop Peter Hansen, St. Augustine of Canterbury Anglican Church, 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m. Service times over in downtown Chico over on Salem Street. You can find them online. Bishop, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you mañana. So long, everybody.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
In Nevada, Pacific Justice Institute attorney Emily Mimnaugh is fighting diligently to restore parental notification laws. Parental notice laws like these prioritize the health of pregnant girls, protect the preborn, and respects parental rights. Join us in prayer today that this state injunction will be lifted and no obstacles will hinder this from happening. Become a prayer warrior at PJI.org.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for the Legal Insider at PJI.org. Remember the website, PJI.org.
In life, we are taught to earn our way in everything.
There are no free rides and no handouts.
Well, if you believe that, you haven't read the Bible.